Welcome back, everyone. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into the world of molding high-impact resistant materials. We've got excerpts from a pretty fascinating technical document, and I gotta say, this goes way beyond just like melting plastic and pouring it into a mold.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex than people might think.
It really is.
You know, you might think of plastic as this like simple everyday material. But when you're talking about the stuff that can like withstand a motorcycle crash or, you know, protect a construction worker from a falling tool, it's a whole other level of engineering and material science.
Yeah, for sure. The document actually uses this analogy of a carefully choreographed dance to describe the process of molding high-impact materials. Like every step needs to be precise and in sync with all the others. And it all starts with choosing the right material. So what are some of the key takeaways for you in that section about material selection?
Well, one thing that really stands out is that it's like picking the right tool for the job. You know, you wouldn't use a hammer to screw in a light bulb, right? So in the same way, you need to choose a material that has the specific properties required for the application.
Okay, makes sense.
So like if you're thinking about a bike helmet, for example, you need a material that can absorb a huge amount of energy on impact without shattering into a million pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your average plastic. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's got to be tough.
Definitely tough.
They actually go into detail about three specific materials: polypropylene, ABS, and nylon. And it's interesting how they break down not just the strengths of each material, but the cost implications as well. Because, like, you're not just trying to make a strong product. You're also trying to make something that is actually viable to manufacture.
Absolutely. Cost is always a major factor. You got to find that sweet spot between performance, processability, and keeping those costs in check.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, polypropylene might be great for like flexible things like storage bins.
You see those everywhere.
But it's probably not going to cut it for a helmet shell.
No, not enough impact resistance.
Right.
ABS is kind of the middle ground there. It's strong, versatile, but you pay a bit more for that.
Okay. And then you've got nylon.
Nylon, the champion of impact resistance. But also the most expensive of the bunch usually.
So it really is about finding that balance. And the document also talks about how these material choices impact the entire molding process itself, not just the final product's strength.
Right. It's a chain reaction. Like if you choose a material with high viscosity, like some types of nylon, it's going to be thicker, almost like honey. That means you need more pressure to inject it into the mold and might need longer cooling times. All of that impacts your production speed and ultimately your bottom line.
Wow. So it's like every decision has these ripple effects throughout the whole process.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got a material chosen. Now we need a mold, right?
Absolutely.
And the design of that mold is obviously critical.
Yeah. They highlight some common issues that can crop up. Things like warping, shrinkage, even just getting a smooth finish can be a challenge with these materials.
Yeah. I love the analogy they use for warping. They compare it to a souffle collapsing.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It's a vivid image.
It makes sense, though. If the mold doesn't cool uniformly, parts of the material solidify at different rates and you get those distortions.
Interesting.
And then there's shrinkage. Like, imagine you're designing a phone case and it comes out just a tiny bit too small because you didn't factor in how much the material shrinks as it cools.
Oh, wow. That'd be a big problem.
Yeah, especially for precision parts.
That's where they talk about those draft angles, right?
Exactly. Those are crucial.
Making sure the part can actually be ejected from the mold without getting stuck.
It's more than just getting it out, though. Those angles actually impact how the material flows into the mold and how evenly it cools.
Oh, interesting.
And with high-impact materials, getting that flow right is super important. You need the material to reach every nook and cranny of the mold. Otherwise, you're going to end up with weak spots in the final part.
That makes sense. And what about that smooth surface finish that everyone wants?
Oh, yeah. That's like an art form in itself. It's all about meticulous mold design and careful control of the molding process.
So it's more than just aesthetics then?
Oh, definitely. It can actually impact the part's strength too. Microscopic imperfections on the surface can act as stress points, making the material more susceptible to cracking or failure under impact.
Wow, I never thought about it like that. It's all about those details, huh?
It really is.
The document also talks about the wear and tear these molds go through, especially with these tough, high-impact materials.
Yeah, it's like using a cheese grater on your cookware.
Ouch.
These materials are abrasive, so regular maintenance is key. If you don't keep those mold surfaces clean and polished, you're going to see it in the quality of your parts.
Okay, so we've got our material, our meticulously designed mold. What's the next step in this high-stakes baking show?
The actual baking, or in this case, the molding process itself. This is where things get even more intricate.
Okay, buckle up.
The document spends a good chunk of time on defect prevention.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like a detective story, trying to anticipate those potential problems before they even happen.
Exactly. And a lot of it comes down to those early choices we talked about, like material selection and mold design. But even with those things locked in, you've got a whole set of process parameters to control.
Right? Temperature, pressure, cool-in time. It's like trying to find the perfect settings on a complex machine.
More like a symphony orchestra. Each parameter plays a crucial role, and they all have to be in harmony for you to hit that perfect note.
Love that analogy.
Take temperature, for example. It's not just about melting the material. It's about getting it to the right viscosity for proper flow.
Right, like that honey analogy you used earlier.
Exactly.
The document also mentions how those high viscosity materials, like some nylons, need more pressure to fill the mold completely.
Yeah, you're essentially trying to push something thicker and more resistant through those tiny channels.
Makes sense.
And if you don't have enough pressure, you risk getting those dreaded short shots.
Short shots.
That's where the material doesn't fully fill the mold, leaving you with an incomplete part.
Oh, so it's like a wasted effort.
Totally waste of material and time.
So you need enough pressure to overcome that viscosity, but not so much that you damage the mold or create other defects?
It's a delicate balance. And temperature plays a huge role there. Think about it this way. If you try to force a thick batter through a piping bag, it's going to take a lot of effort, and it might not flow smoothly. But if you warm that batter up just a bit, it becomes easier to handle.
Oh, that's a good way to visualize it.
Right.
The document also talks about how temperature impacts the material's properties, especially when it comes to achieving that high-impact resistance.
Absolutely. It's like tempering chocolate. You need to heat it to a specific temperature and then cool it down in a controlled way to get that snap.
Oh, yeah.
With high-impact materials. Certain polymers need to reach specific temperatures to activate their strengths and toughness.
Interesting.
If you don't hit that sweet spot, you might end up with a brittle product, even if the material itself is inherently strong.
So getting that temperature control right is critical. And the document mentions some pretty sophisticated ways to do that, like those heated platen systems and cooling channels built right into the mold.
Yeah, it's like having climate control for your mold. These systems allow manufacturers to dial in the precise temperature profile needed for each material and each part design.
Wow, that's impressive. I was reading about a company that makes those super tough protective cases for phones and tablets. They use a combination of heated platens and conformal cooling channels to make sure every part of the case cools down evenly.
That's a great example of how technology is pushing the boundaries of what's possible in molding. And it's not just about preventing defects. It's about optimizing the entire process.
Right. Efficiency is key.
Exactly. Which leads us to another fascinating aspect the document covers. Cooling time.
Cooling time. It's not something I ever really thought much about.
It's a bit of a hidden efficiency killer. The document states that cooling time can eat up to 80% of the total cycle time in molding.
80%. That's a huge chunk of time.
It is.
So if you can shave off even a little bit of that cooling time, you can dramatically increase your production output.
Exactly. And that's where those innovations in cooling technology come into play. We talked about conformal cooling, but they also mentioned things like baffles and bubblers to improve heat transfer within the mold.
It's like designing the plumbing for a high-performance engine. You need to make sure the coolant is flowing efficiently to draw heat away from the mold as quickly as possible.
Exactly. They even touch on some more advanced technologies like rapid tooling, which uses special materials to conduct heat away from the mold even faster.
Interesting.
And variotherm systems, where you can actually control the heating and cooling cycles with incredible precision.
It's like giving your mold a superpower.
It's amazing how much thought and engineering goes into something that seems as simple as cooling plastic.
Right. It's all about the details.
But it all comes back to that fundamental goal, creating a high-quality, high-impact, resistant product.
Okay, so we've talked about materials, mold design, defect prevention. Now, the importance of temperature and cooling time. We're getting pretty deep into the weeds here, but it's clear that every step of this process is crucial. What's next?
Oh, you've molded your part. It's cooled down. What's the final step?
Making sure it's actually good. Quality control, right?
Exactly. And the document makes it clear that quality control isn't just a final check. It's something that needs to be woven into the entire process.
They talk about the importance of standardized procedures, consistent material selection, and having everyone on the team using the same measurement tool.
Right. It's like having a shared language for quality.
Exactly.
And the technology they're using these days is incredible. They mentioned 3D scanners and CT imaging, which can spot microscopic defects that would be impossible to see with the naked eye.
Wow, it's like giving those quality control inspectors superhuman vision.
Basically. They can literally see inside the part and make sure there are no hidden flaws.
That's amazing.
And it's not just about catching defects. It's about using that data to improve the process. If they spot a recurring problem, they can go back and tweak the mold design, adjust the process parameters, or even look at using a slightly different material.
So it's a continuous feedback loop.
Exactly. Continuous improvement.
This deep dive is really highlighting how much more there is to molding than meets the eye. We've covered a lot of ground already, but I'm guessing there's even more to unpack. It feels like we've only just scratched the surface here.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it.
The document even touches on the environmental impact of all this.
Right. Sustainability is becoming a bigger and bigger factor in all aspects of manufacturing.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a growing focus on using more sustainable materials in molding. You know, think about all the plastic products that end up in landfills.
It's a lot.
They talk about things like biodegradable plastics. Mm-hmm. And even using recycled materials in these high-impact applications.
That's interesting, because you wouldn't think something designed to be super durable would also be biodegradable.
It's definitely a challenge, but there's a lot of research going on in that area. Imagine a bike helmet that could eventually break down naturally. Instead of sitting in a landfill for centuries.
That would be amazing.
It's the future they're working towards.
This document really highlights how molding these high-impact resistant materials is like a fusion of art and science. It's not just about brute strength. It's about precision, innovation, and even sustainability.
It's a fascinating field.
Yeah.
And it's constantly evolving.
It really is.
I'm curious to see what the next decade brings.
Me too.
Will we see completely new materials that are even stronger and lighter? Will we be able to mold parts with even more complex geometries and intricate details?
What about those smart materials that can change their properties in response to their environment? Like, could we see a helmet that stiffens on impact to provide even more protection?
The possibilities are pretty exciting. And it's not just about the materials themselves. I think we'll see even more sophisticated molding technologies. Things like AI-powered process control, maybe even 3D printing at a scale we can't even imagine today.
It's mind-boggling to think about. We started with this technical document, but this deep dive has really opened up a whole world of possibilities.
It just goes to show that even in something as seemingly ordinary as plastic, there's a whole universe of complexity and innovation waiting to be explored.
Well said. I think this has been a fantastic deep dive. We've learned so much about the intricacies of molding high-impact resistant materials, from the importance of material selection and mold design, to the critical role of temperature control, cooling time, and quality control. It's clear that every step of the process is crucial, and that there's a constant drive for innovation and sustainability in this field. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it as fascinating as we did, and we'll catch you on the next episode, where we'll unpack something equally interesting. Until then, keep those brains churning.